This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
James Wood. And he hits a high drive to deep left center. Is it going to hold? No. See you later. Against the wind on a cold night. And he's done it in each game now. 2-0 Nats.
Going with your eyes up. Great job by him.
James Wood extends. And look at this baby fly. See you.
What a night for James Wood. 3-for-4, 2 homers, 5 RBIs. And don't look now, but the Nationals have won 4 in a row. Good morning, everybody. Our first morning without Denton. Max Ames is in. He'll be helping out for the time being, and hopefully much longer. Max is a local, grew up in Northern Virginia, went to VCU. A fan of all the teams, and as we approach the NHL playoffs, he will be our hockey expert on the show. You know it's not me. Max, good to have you along.
Good to be here, Kevin. I'm excited.
Yeah, Max has been doing some stuff with other shows on our station with Chris and on the other station as well, so it's good to have Max along. What a night for James Wood. 2 home runs. It's his second 2-homer game for him in his very young career. What an early season stretch for the Nationals. Good baseball from the Nats. Not only have they won 4 in a row, but the first 2 came against a more than competent Arizona squad, and then the last 2 against the Dodgers, meaning that for the first time since 2014, the Nats have taken a home series against L.A. Of course, they did win a playoff series since 2014, a 5-game series in 2019. Thank you, Howie Kendrick. They only won 1 game at home in that series. They won 2 in L.A. The Nats, by the way, I went and looked this up. They've only swept the Dodgers in a 3-game regular season series 1 time since coming to Washington. That happened all the way back in 2008. A chance to do that today when they finish up with LA at 4:05. Mark Zuckerman from Masson will join us at 11 to talk some Nationals and their impressive last 4 games and why they are doing it. Certainly James Wood last night was a big part of it. Eric Flack from Channel 9 at 11:35 will jump on with us with a stadium update. We haven't heard anything in a while on RFK. Is it going to happen or not? We'll get an update from Eric at 11:35. The Masters starts tomorrow, one of my favorite weekends of the year. Steve Sands from the Golf Channel and NBC will jump on with me at 12 from Augusta. Let's open up the show with a what do you got?
Well, it's great seeing all the stars in action tonight. Nobody's sitting except for Rui. That knee management. Doncic starts, stop, shoot. Gonna score.
Well, he got the switch. He won it again. Hardenstein. Luka's thrown out of the game.
Oh, no.
Luka just got thrown out.
There you go. Second technical. Doncic is gone.
Luka is saying he was talking to a fan. And the official is saying he was talking to me. So that's his second technical. He's out of the game. Luka
so,
made this shot, and I guess one of the fans in the first row, he was saying something. Luka said something back, and the official happened to be in that area.
Yeah.
So that was last night in the NBA, your favorite league. But Luka Doncic got tossed in a huge game as we come down the stretch. This is the final week of the regular season in the NBA. He got tossed for arguing with a fan. The referee that threw him out thought he was arguing with him. He had already hit him with a tech earlier in the game. That's two. He's gone. The Lakers led in that moment 108-107. And then when Luka left the game, they got outscored 29-12 the rest of the way and lost by 16. So there's a lot of controversy here this morning among NBA fans primarily about Luka getting tossed for jawing with a fan. The referee pulling the trigger quickly, thinking that he was jawing at the referee. It was probably an inaccurate and inappropriate, a wrongly toss in that moment. However, it's the rep that precedes Luka. Luka's the biggest whiner, biggest serial complainer we've ever seen in the NBA. I mean, truly, we've talked about this for the last couple of years, but especially in last year's postseason, no one has ever been committed for 48 minutes a night to complaining about officiating more than Luka Doncic. It's almost at times impossible to watch, you know, if you're a grown-up. And Luka deserves this situation. It's a misunderstanding between the referee and what Luka was doing. But Luka already had a tech. He's got a reputation that precedes him. He was arguing and jawing with a fan in the general direction of the referee that had teed him up before. You got to have better discipline as a player to know, I got one tech. This is a massive game. By the way, the Lakers were trying to go back-to-back wins against Oklahoma City. For those that have not tuned into the NBA and won't until the postseason, and maybe won't even then, Oklahoma City's the best team in the NBA. All right, Oklahoma City at this point has 65 wins, and they got thumped by the Lakers the other night, and they were on the verge potentially of losing two straight to the Lakers. That shot right before he got tossed put the Lakers up by one. But, man, this is going to be a test for Luka Doncic moving forward. If he can't get it together when it comes to, and I don't want to hear this is what drives him. You know, that's the, it's the, you know, him telling the world, nobody thinks I can do this. They're all against me. There's a little bit of that, but you have to control yourself. He has hurt his team so much over the years by complaining and whining as much as he does. I don't know that LeBron's been able to get a handle on it, but the Lakers are good, although Luka can't guard anybody at this point, and that's a big problem for the Lakers going into the postseason. But they've been playing really good basketball, and they blew a chance last night to widen their lead in the Western Conference playoff picture. The Lakers are currently third, but they're only a game ahead of four teams. Four teams are a game back. It's crazy the way the West is bunched up right now with basically you've got from 3 to 8, and 7 and 8 are play-in teams. You know, they're going to play in those play-in games next week, but 3 through 8 could end up in any order here over the final 3 to 4 games of the season. Yeah, the NBA's ready to wrap it up. Luka Doncic last night making headlines, getting tossed for arguing with a fan, not the ref. But I don't know how you can blame any referee. When Luka turns in any referee's general direction jawing, 99 times out of 100, he's jawing at the referee. Good morning, everybody. Hey, I wanted to mention this also as a part of What Do You Got? The ratings for the NCAA championship game came out yesterday afternoon. Very impressive. 18.1 million people watched the game on Monday night between a very game Florida and Houston team in a very closely contested game. As we know, it came down to the final possession. But that 18.1 is the most for a men's final since 2019. It is still 800,000 short of what the women did last year at 18.9 million with a 3 p.m. start time on a Sunday. There's a big difference for those that don't know. Prime time on a Monday night versus a Sunday at 3 o'clock. We're still looking at the most watched college game in basketball over the last 6-7 years has been a women's game involving Caitlin Clark. But still, the men's final did very, very well. You didn't have Duke in it, and there was some concern that with Houston in it instead of Duke, that the numbers would be in that 14 to 15 million range. But I guess the competitiveness of the game, the fact that it was a pretty compelling watch until the referees got a hold of the second half, but 18.1 million viewers, the best since the men's final some 6 years ago. So maybe we're seeing a resurgence of college basketball a little bit. Look, you got to have, you know, you've had Connecticut as a dominant team. They played Purdue last year, but the year before it was San Diego State in a final that also included Florida Atlantic and Miami. So that was not a you know, big-time viewed Final Four or championship game. You had four number ones this year, and you had a pretty good championship matchup. If Duke had been in that game, you probably would have seen more than 20 million watch a championship game for the first time, and that would have been in I don't know how many years, because I think the most watched game in the last 15 years was the 2016 final between Wisconsin, or the 2015 final between Wisconsin and Duke. All right, something that Denton had an idea about, and it was based on some sort of email that we got from a viewer, but we were talking about championships at some point a couple of weeks ago, and the fact that we haven't had a lot. You know, we had 2019 with the Nats, we had 2018 with the Caps, and I'm talking specifically about the four major pro sports teams. All right, I think it came up when I said that Maryland's got a legitimate chance to beat anybody in the field during the early stages of the tournament, which I felt all along. I thought that if on Maryland's best night heading into the tournament that they could beat anybody they faced. Now, they didn't beat Florida, and they didn't play well against Florida. They didn't play their best. And you know what? After watching that game, I think I said it the next day, if they had played their best, I don't think they would have won the game. I think, you know, out of 10, if Maryland plays their best 10 times against Florida, they still lose 7 if Florida plays near their best. Florida was a really, really difficult team. But that kind of sparked a conversation, and Denton got an email one day about championships in our DMV. By the way, the Terps finished ranked 9th in the country. The final AP poll came out yesterday, and they actually moved up 2 spots from where they were at the end of the season, and they finished in the top 10. Finished in the top 10 for the first time since 2002. I would have not guessed that. I would have thought at some point, if it was 2010, if it was 2015, if it was 2019, 2020, I would have thought they would have finished near the top 10. They did in those years finish near the top 10, but it's the first time they've finished in the Associated Press top 10 in men's basketball since their national championship season in 2002. The Terps finished ranked 9th in the Associated Press poll, which, by the way, for those of you that mocked me when sometime in late January, maybe early February, I said this is the best team Maryland's had in a while, certainly since 2020. They've got a chance to make a deep, deep run into the NCAA tournament. And I think at that time they were 4-3 or 5-3 or 5-4 in the Big Ten, whatever it was. They had a hell of a season. But we don't need to talk about that anymore because it will be a completely different team next year. But Denton, you know, came in, called me one night and said, I got an idea for a segment, which we would do all the time. And he said, he read something and he said, if you had five championships left in your lifetime. Doesn't matter what the lifetime is. If you're 20, it could be another 70 years, 80 years, hopefully. If you're 60, it could be another 20, 30 years, hopefully. Whatever it is, if you had five championships left in your lifetime, how would you divvy them up between the teams in town? Not just pro sports teams, we'll consider college teams as well. How would you divvy up those five championships? Five may be kind of aggressive, considering that since 1991, we only have five, if you consider Maryland's as well. Look, I can't even tell you, all due respect to the team, but if we're going to get into how many, the tennis team has won, how many the soccer teams won, the women's soccer team, the men's soccer team, if you want to throw that into the mix, that's fine. All right, but you got five championships left of teams in the DMV in your lifetime. How would you divvy them up? Who would you give them to? Meaning, I'd give three to the Skins. I'd give, one to the Wizards, one to the Caps, or something like that. How would you divvy them up? Five's aggressive, depending on how long of a lifetime you have left. But we'll take five as sort of an optimistic view of where we are. We certainly should be optimistic about the football team. We certainly should be optimistic, I think, at some point. Actually, at any point with the hockey team. And it doesn't matter whether you're optimistic or not. It's the what would you desire? You got five championships. Divvy them up. Tell me how you'd spread them out. I'm interested to hear what the answers are. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. I'll give you my answer. Max will give you his answer. And we'll take your calls at 301-230-0980. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and the Team980.com.